like that, you just like rung my ear right there.
Sorry, bud. Didn't mean to box you.
Yep. Well, this is Eddie checking in.
This is Gage checking in, and this is the sloppiest episode we're going to have to date since the original ones. We're going back to basics, and we're not trying to pick any topic to talk about.
Honestly, I think we're a little bit more adept and well-versed now to maybe go on a limb here.
Yeah, we can float around.
Yeah.
We're
not as bad as like before where we're just fucking talking and jumping and blah 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 blah.
I think we swung both first of all, let's talk about at the top social media. You can find us YouTube, Two Boys Podcast, our Facebook group also with the same name, Two Boys Podcast, at Two Boys Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you'll see lots of pictures of Clovey and behind the scenes mic shots.
Yeah, you gotta hack the algorithm somehow. Yeah.
Puppies, kids, traffic accidents, all those do really well on Instagram. I don't know. And then like those shitty Instagram comedians where they're like, when Bae catches you looking at another thought's booty, hashtag comedy, hashtag acting, fuck off, TikTok is scum. But anyways, we just didn't really know what to talk about, but the grind is still fucking making these things every week, documenting our progress, documenting our struggle.
I
would be interested. It kind of like when I was doing soccer for college, my trainer explained like using your muscle.
You did soccer?
Yeah, for like a year.
At Wheelock, mind you, Wheelock doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and the only time they won, shout out to Matt Wolverton, my buddy, fucking hold it down. He brought home the first dub for Wheelock.
Oh, word.
In men's soccer in the entirety of its program.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
And then the school folded the next year. Thanks, Matt. Love you, bud. It reminded me of like what my trainer was saying about using your muscles. Like the first time you lift, you're going to be so exhausted because you've never lifted before. So it underfires your muscle fibers. And then the next time you lift, it reactivates the memory of that muscle and it overuses the muscle fibers. It uses too many because it thinks, oh fuck, we were underprepared last time. Let's, you know, it overcompensates, and then the pendulum keeps swinging until you find a nice balance. It's by like the repetition of working out, of using your muscles. Literally the muscle memory is like knowing if I pick this plate up, find of the week, found it on the street, you know, I know exactly how much I need to exert to lift this up. It's like when you lift up fucking a milk jug and it's empty, but it's opaque, and you're like, punch a hole through the ceiling.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Eddie and I just fucking same old grind. There's nothing exciting from week to week sometimes, but you gotta record and have a chat with your buddy.
Yeah. But
dead air already.
Yeah, dead air. we'll cut this out.
No, we won't.
Fucking no, we won't.
Living cutless in this life.
Cutless, my
fucking dude. Chicken cutless.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I mean, I guess an update on my life with the whole goal setting thing that I had in mind. So I was given. So somebody reached out to me asking about a potential job offer, and so I was interested. So we just did a phone screening, and I know in previous episodes I talked about how I had this whole perfect plan about, you know, escaping my one job to go to another, but then these guys are presenting me with a
bring it a little closer.
Quote, I think opportunity. You're good. Yeah, like last episode, if anybody heard, you can hear me fucking breathing into the mic the entire time. So I'm just keeping my boundaries. I have the pop filter.
Well, if you're talking, it's not that bad. It's just between when I was talking and you were just sitting there waiting and you were listening, you're very proactively listening with your breathing. But that's okay. I mean, we can get pretty close. It's just I noticed I talk a lot louder, so I dipped myself in baseball. All this is in baseball. But
yeah.
Who fucking cares? Anyways, Eddie's talking about opportunity
that he got.
Yeah. So we did a phone screening yesterday, and careful you don't drop the glass of water. And so I close, right? Ready? We did a phone screening. They told me a little bit about themselves. I told them a little bit about me. They liked what they heard. And so we're going to move on with next steps for actual interviews. We'll see where it goes from there. I think for me, one of the most important things I've been learning recently is that I have to start really listing down my priorities about life, because there are so many things I want to do, right? You know, I want to own my own company. I want to learn and develop in all these skills. I want to, you know, be a better person, become all these things. And so, you know, when you write down this whole list of things, I'm like missing his name right now. Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has the 525 rule. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
So Warren Buffett pretty much makes you writes down a list of 25 things. And out of those 25 things, he makes you pick what you think are the five most important things that you have to get done. And then once you pick out those five things, everything else on that list does not matter.
Well,
so no matter, cool. Like, yeah, so if it's, I can't if think it's like 25 minor
things,
shit,
that's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it's struggling to come up with 25 things and then just tearing away.
Exactly. Five. Because then if you do think about those things that you want to do, and you have those like five main things that you really, really want to get done,
mm-hmm.
then that minor shit won't matter because, oh shit, I'm like smacking the mic.
It's chill.
Because now you're focusing your goal onto one thing. Another podcast that we talked about focus.
Yeah.
So yeah. So in, I think I just have to like reprioritize and like refocus myself into what needs to get done first. And that's really getting my loans paid off, because I feel like once that gets done, once I, you know, put that last payment in to get my loans, finally paid, it just opens up so much more room, and it's just a huge load off my back to really reorient myself from one stage of my life to another stage where it's just one less hurdle that I have to get past. You know, if you're trying to jump over a whole bunch of hurdles and you're going to fumble sooner or later, then when you do fall, it's going to probably be hard to pick yourself back up. But if you're going to attack one thing at a time, I think that's the best way to do it. You know, you can still do your other side stuff. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying, just find the thing that has to be taken care of, like, right away, or if it's going to be, like, a long-term thing, to attack it with as much intensity and focus as you can. And then once that's over, then you can go on to the next thing. And you can do it much faster, too. Dave Ramsey was talking about that.
Do you think we can hear that?
The what? Oh, the bass? Oh, if you guys can hear that, I'm sorry. My roommates are probably listening to music. Sam just got a new sound system in his room.
Is that upstairs or next door?
It sounds like it's next door, like right behind us. Oh, it definitely sounds like behind us because it's pushing that way. Sorry, guys.
Hey, it'll be fine. The mics are a lot more concentrated. That's the audio I'm going to be using anyways.
Yeah.
We'll be okay. Sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. But that's pretty much it, what I was thinking about. That's how I've been feeling the last few weeks. Along with a lot of other mixed emotions about life and work-life balance and how those two things meld together. And also, too, you know, that if I get this other job, it'll bring a lot more consistency in my life.
Yeah.
Which I think is what I'm looking for. Because remember that episode you were talking about how, you know, I don't know if you mentioned it, but for Gage, you know, he has two jobs and him trying to find free time to do the other stuff that he wants to do is hard because, you know, those schedules are so mixed and throughout the day.
Basically chasing every hour to work. I try to smush as much time to work and then give myself a day to decompress.
Yeah.
I think
now, too, that if I can also have that consistency, I can then, you know, fall into a rhythm to, you know, once you set your priorities, of course.
Yeah.
Once you get those down packed and then you start getting into the rhythm of what it is. You know, you have your main focus and then everything around that can fall into the place it needs to fall.
That's true. It's sometimes I don't even know the difference between like the work and life balance, like what life I have outside of work. I was listening to Your Mom's House, the podcast, Your Mom's House. Shout out to Main Mommy Tommy, and Christina P, the water champ. I see you. And they were talking about, like, how they used to work in offices, you know, and they used to go to parties, like, office parties where they would all, you know, all the employees would go out to a bar afterwards, but then all they talked about was work, you know, and that their main complaint was that people couldn't get out of the, like, they couldn't leave the office mentally, that they were always there, that whatever their life views were filtered through that cubicle. And they were always thinking about, well, Pam, when fucking accounting is such a bitch and she's doing this, that, the other. It's like, dude, shut the fuck. Like, we're here to enjoy ourselves. Let's fucking enjoy ourselves. So sometimes I catch myself doing that. Oh, my God. That was a very aggressive. I'm so sorry. I definitely peaked. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know my
I'm
own.
So sorry.
That, because it was sounded like nothing to me, but I know that it fucking was super loud. And this, all of me touching this is bad. I'm sorry. Let me just. Okay. Sorry. I'll try to kill that in the edit to make it not pop your ears open. But the point is that, like, I don't want work to be my life. You know, work-life balance doesn't mean that, like, how much time you spend in and out of work. It's all about, it's also about, like, where your mind is. Because a lot of times what Eddie and I talk about is people, things from work, which, you know, is fine. It's like a shared experience of ours. But, you know, I think we do a good job. Actually, you know what? More now, especially since we have our flipping, mm-hmm. that has become our main point of conversation, and it's get really exciting, and that's technically work because you're making money off of it, but it's fun. It's like more of an adventure than it is like a job.
And we're also learning a lot from it too, off of each other. So every time we engage, meet up, or we're working the same shift, I'm always telling them about the new flips, or if I did a posting, or if something worked, something did I sell something, am I, you know, making a shipping label. You know, that's our side hustle and our hobby at the same time. So I feel like that's just another fun aspect of, you know, even if we're at work, we kind of get to escape from work because we get to talk about something that we genuinely
like. It's very true.
And then with us too, you know, when we have our pre-podcast discussions, we do mention work, but then we can easily derail and like go off into a topic that has nothing to do with work, which I think is really nice.
It's true.
And I remember a couple weeks ago, friend of ours who used to work at our store came back to visit us because he had a big announcement he wanted to make and share with all of us. And so we had a dinner for him, and one of our coworkers.
Can I get a letter on that one?
A letter?
And for a name?
Jay. There's a lot of J's.
Buddhist?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I wasn't around for this. I was away for Christmas vacation. Yeah.
I mean, you also, well, you were there while he was working there still, right?
I was there when he was working there. I didn't see him when he came back. Oh, I missed him. I was really pissed because I missed him too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, we were having, you know, a little bit of a celebratory and, you know, catch up with him. And we all just, like, kept talking about work. And one of our other coworkers, he was like, guys, I know we all work together, but can we just please talk about something other than work right now?
The guy who came back from?
No, not him. Another Jay.
Ah. There's so many fucking J's. Yeah, exactly. You know what I realized, actually?
Funny.
JC. Okay, yeah. Sorry to, like, derail again, but, like, what I noticed is for a while, all managers had J names at this particular place that we worked at. And, like, until a certain M broke that curse, I was like, when she came on, I was like, oh, finally an M. Like, we're going forward in the alphabet again.
But then it was funny because then everybody who was upper management. Oh, wait, no, never mind. It didn't count because I was going to say everybody who was in upper management was part of the LGBTQ plus community.
It's a lot of letters, not just J.
I'm not going to go through all of them.
Yeah, but I'm just saying J's not in that letter.
Yeah, I know. Sooner or later.
LGBT, but all of them are J's.
Let us know. Let us know in the comments below if you identify as a J.
Java sexual. I don't know. Attracted to coffee. But yeah, you know, work. I think, you know, yeah. So, sorry, go back on that point. The celebratory dinner, don't want to talk about just...
Yeah,
work shit.
I feel like sometimes, you know, your work gets so involved that when you bring it home, it's just you're just stuck in that same energy over and over. And I can feel how it can get rotten and just overbearing. So once you go back into the next day, it's like, here we go again. You
know? Yeah.
And that's really true if you work in a bad work environment. But if you work in a good work environment, I think that's really... that can really have a different effect on you in and outside of work. Because when I used to work at H&M, and before we had this huge shift in management, I loved working there.
That's good.
Like the work vibe was really nice. Everybody was really cool with each other. I mean, even after we changed over management, everybody was still cool. It was just a lot of different dynamics were changing and making it harder for us to work. And, you know, people's priorities were not aligned with how it was before, so it really affected everybody's work ethic. But besides the point, you know, it was that kind of environment where the people I worked with at H&M, I hung out with them outside of work, and so we became, you know, good work friends in and out of work, and a lot of times we wouldn't even talk about work when we hung out. We just talked about our lives and what we do and whatnot. And I thought that was really fun.
That's good. Yeah, I was thinking about,
shout out to the old H&M team,
but not by name because we don't want to out anybody.
Actually, no. Her name also starts with a name. A J.
Also, name starts with a name. Her name starts with a name. Simpson.
Keep thinking about it, and I'll try to remember. Yeah.
Well, the point I was going to bring up, this is completely jumping to a different topic, is the novelty of flipping. And basically, all of what we talk about on this podcast is flipping and work and our life goals. But I was thinking recently about, of course, another podcast, because if you see me outside, I have my headphones on listening to some order of podcast. And they were talking about...
Okay, sorry, right before you go. You got the name. Shout out to Jennifer, who works at H&M. She just got promoted to manager, so shout out.
Congratulations, Jennifer. Congratulations, Jennifer. I was just thinking about the novelty and how we are still excited about it. And I was wondering, I suppose this happens with other aspects of career, but when something stops being exciting, or like, because I listened to a lot of podcasts about comedians, and obviously they have to start somewhere. And one of them was talking about, you know, acting like you've been there. Like, his dad raised him with some semblance of a principle that, you know, when you show up somewhere where your people who you admire are around you, you know, act like you've been there before, or don't act like this is your first time, even if it is, you know, that, you know, you belong there. I suppose it's kind of leaning out of that imposter syndrome thing and more like, you know, you belong here. You are just as good as everyone else. Like, you, or at least you're just on the same track. You can work there. But I like the excitement of our flipping, and all the excitement around it. It just makes me curious of like, will that go away? Is that inevitable evolution of us being more successful at this? And do we want it to go away? Or, like, should it go away? You know what I mean? Like, should we get less excited about it? Because we shouldn't be surprised that we flipped, you know, 500% profit on something. We should be expecting that. And instead of accepting what we have and being excited for the higher margins, maybe we should be pushing ourselves higher and higher. Like, our, I guess we are, in a sense. Yeah.
Because right now... before we started the podcast, we were like looking through each other's eBay profiles, and it was like, oh, like we both just got another point of feedback, which is great because we're really trying to work that up and build the credibility of our page right now. I actually just went in the other day, and I went on my eBay profile on my computer, and I added a photo, which was, I think, of Clover, because it's...
Do you just have to add it on desktop? Because I've tried adding it on mobile, and there's no
way for me to
do
it on mobile, so I just do it on desktop.
I heard from customer service that the mobile app is geared more towards customers than sellers.
That it's more of a commerce
app than it is a selling app.
Honestly, that's fair. I can see that. Yeah.
I added
a profile picture, I added a cover photo, and then I also added a description on my eBay page.
Definitely gotta do that tonight.
So now it personalizes my page a little bit more, and it doesn't look like I'm a fucking bot. It's just as simple as it gets.
There's a face.
So it's, you know, I'm definitely expanding on that aspect. And then also, you know, getting points of feedback. The more points of feedback you get, the more reliable you become as a seller. And there's not even the aspect of like, oh, send it in a timely basis, item was described as it is. Even points of feedback when it comes into even the more murky things like return defects, the person never got it, you know, things like that also count and are just as valuable, if not even more valuable, to your eBay page than just saying he's a triple A plus seller and I'll buy again.
Love that. Love that it's never A plus plus or A plus. It's always A plus 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 or triple A plus. Like, it's always in threes, which I guess is...
Yeah, I think that's just the eBay community in general. That's how they talk. I think the funniest positive feedback I got was it worked good. And that was it.
Hey,
it
worked good. That's what's great about eBay system, though. It's more of like a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle kind of thing. It's not like a... Because if we were ranked on a star system, it'd be iffy.
It reminds me of...
It'd be hard when, to keep those high margins.
Yeah. So both Gage and I were from Connecticut. You ever took the CMTs?
The only thing I ever learned from the CMT is that Eli Whitney created the cotton gin. Fuck the CMTs, bro.
Yeah. So in the CMTs, halfway, so you start at third grade in Connecticut, taking the Connecticut Mastery Test, which is essentially a across the board, like,
it's standardized testing, yeah, through standardized grade school, or through like grammar and grade school.
Mm-hmm. And so that just makes sure is that all the schools are teaching everybody at a competent level. But honestly, it's probably the worst 2 weeks of my fucking life.
Yeah, because you take PCMTs. It's like basically PSATs before you get to the SATs. Like, the CMT is this most, like, Scantron sheet bullshit that, like, I hated it so much. And, like, it was just so stupid. I don't know what your point was for that. Sorry, but, continue on your point.
So
yeah, I do remember CMTs.
Part way, you know, taking all the tests as you're growing up, they changed some of the grading systems.
Yes, yes.
So for writing, it used to be a 1-2-3-0. And then they changed it just to 2-1-0. So kind of like the eBay thing. It was like 2 is good, 1 is neutral, and then 0 is bad. Yeah. I don't know why like it connected that way, but
trauma.
You know, you want to talk about
trauma tests, really, right? Pulls up.
Yeah, memory. I know, right? And then the fucking CAP test, Connecticut Aptitude.
Oh my, I almost forgot about the CAP test, bro. Yeah, Connecticut's some fuck ass state. First of all, fuck Connecticut. This is the Fuck Connecticut podcast. We just stumbled onto our topic. You're peeking, by the way. Okay. This is just, you gotta pull away for your laughs, bro. Your laughs, your coughs, your sneezes. Yeah, it's hard, but you gotta pull away. Gotta pull out for those laughs, you know what I mean? Yeah. Pull out for the lulls. Mm-hmm. But fuck Connecticut. This is the Fuck Connecticut podcast, and here's why. Because I'll give you my Connecticut experience. Now, I came up in Winslow, Connecticut. That was near Bradley Airport. And to reiterate what Joe Rogan and Tom Segura have said about Connecticut, worst state in the union, probably. Yeah. From the experience of the people who live there, Joe Rogan said, quote, Connecticut's not a real state. It's just a highway between New York and Boston. And that's exactly what the fuck it is. He said that, like, he was talking about New Haven. He's talking about Hartford. He's like, Hartford is the city of despair. And somehow they have a worse one called New Haven. Fucking pistol wave in New Haven. Fucking shout out to fucking 860 and the 203.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I came up in Winslow, Connecticut. There was nothing to do. They built a monster mini golf. Was the funnest thing they had there. That was pretty fun. It was indoor mini golf with like UV light. And everything was neon. And then they got rid of it. And now it's a fucking like vet, or maybe I don't know, they suck all the fun out of there. I always described it as the easiest town to run away from. It has an airport, a train station, a bus stop that runs through it, and there's basically one main street that connects you back to the highway. So if you want to get the fuck out of there, oh yeah, and it's also on a river, so even if you can't afford anything, you could put together a couple fucking milk jugs and float your way down to fucking Rhode Island. But yeah, Connecticut sucks. There's really not much to do there. So taxes bad. Are too high.
Yep, Connecticut tax. Unless you live, you know. What was it? I was making fun of my girlfriend's roommate because they were talking to somebody from Connecticut, and I asked her, I was like, what state? They actually gave me a map, and I circled all the bad parts. I was like, if they come from anywhere in these like red zones,
Bridgeport.
Yeah, exactly.
New Britain.
Don't fucking talk to them. And I was right.
Go yard goats.
I'm not going to go super deep into it.
Let's go into it.
No. Well, just Ellington, Connecticut. Just the I'm talking about the person, because I want to respect their privacy, of course.
Well,
but I was right about where they came from and being about a bad person.
It's like, let me guess your location. Let me guess your county.
To be fair, like, I'm from Hartford originally, and so Hartford is a fucking badass place. Depending on what part of Hartford you come from.
Yeah, it was like Park Street, right? It's like the notorious.
So Park Street is where all the Puerto Ricans are. The north
Eddie, you didn't have to make me sound racist. I'm just saying, Park Street's
it's true,
notoriously thing. Shitty. They always told me not
also,
to go.
It's also notoriously.
Yeah, they
shitty,
told me not to go near Park Street. That's all I remember. I don't remember fucking it just being Puerto Rico. I just thought all of Hartford was Puerto Rican.
No. So
who I went to school
with. So this is in Hartford. It was the north end.
Break it down, buddy.
Was predominantly black, and then the south end was predominantly Hispanic, and so like
a lot of Puerto Rican flags.
It is.
I saw more Puerto Rican flags there than American flags. That's
true. We have the Puerto Rican parade. It runs through Wethersfield Ave. I think it also goes through Park Street. It's not a cohesive parade. It's just everybody in their cars with Puerto Rican flags, honking and blowing music. That's how it is. And you know, it's cool. It's a cool scene, but that's just the reality.
It's a glorified traffic jam.
it really is. That's how it is. But yeah, that's food, that's kind of the layout of the city. Yeah, I mean,
have you been there recently?
Park Street?
My little, no, just Hartford. My little brother goes to my little brother went to Prince Tech for a little bit. So really,
yeah,
fucking my brother's better than you, bitch.
Oh, fuck off.
He went there for auto body shit, but it was interesting. Like, he was telling me about Prince Tech. It's basically, I didn't know how a lot of tech schools work, but basically, like, you know, they worked on the shop and they would work on other people's cars for discount. Also, pro tip, if you want to get your teeth done and it's a minor thing, like say a cleaning or like a checkup, go to a dentistry school and they'll do it for a steep, steep, steep discount because you have the student. A
dentless
guy. Yeah, a dent discount because they have all the students that are learning. So if it's something that you can afford to, or that you don't want to pay for, but it's also some minor shit like a cleaning, and it's not like, I would say if you're going to get your fillings done, well, maybe fillings, depending. But I'm just saying, like, don't go to get a root canal there. But they will give you a good discount because students are still learning. But that's how his tech school works.
I just got my fucking, my filling. I got a filling redone. Dude, that shit was not.
Did it crack? What happened? Did you grind your teeth or something?
I think it's a combination of that. When I went to go.
You're making me nervous. I fucking hate the dentist.
So I just recently got dentist insurance again, which is great. Yeah. Don't ever not have dentist
Take
insurance.
Care of your fucking teeth. Seriously. If there's one thing to go into debt for, it is your teeth. Yeah. And also for the elderly people that are listening, and this is no joke, there is no
the
such thing.
Out there?
There is no such thing as dental Medicaid. When you get older.
Oh, there isn't?
No. There's medical. There's no dental Medicaid. It covers your physical health and all that stuff. So emergency surgeries for your teeth, probably. But you don't want to wait for it to get that far. Private insurances are the best. Don't fucking rely. Just please, if you could really go into debt on anything for your body, your teeth. Your teeth are like the gateway to your health.
Dude, the last time I went to the dentist before I started to go again was when I was 18. Mind you, I'm 25 now. So that's 7 years without going to the dentist.
Damn, bro.
I thought it was going to be a lot worse when I got there. Luckily, it wasn't too bad. But, I mean, it was pretty bad. I'm not gonna.
Well, okay, hold on. So there's one of my very favorite podcasts, and somebody who I'm going to see in April, Tom Segura, Christina Pajitsky, Your Mom's House, has a very infamous segment called Dental Update. And not to rip them, but to admire them and to pay homage to their beautiful, wonderful podcast that they built from their amazing marriage and great comedy combined, I would like to introduce the one-time segment, Dental Update, for Eddie, because I feel like this is important. This is something that I care about, too.
Okay.
Cue the intense music.
So,
Dental Update.
When I first got in, I had... It was crazy. So I went to the Longwood. It's not Longwood down in the medical center, but Longwood here in Brighton on Beacon Street. And those guys are really good. They're really, really nice too. They fucking hooked me up to this like rotating x-ray machine where they were like took a 3D image of my mouth and like all my teeth. It was really fucking like cool.
Some Professor X shit. And the fucking Dreamcast where he puts the helmet on. What's that thing called? The fucking
Cerebro?
Cerebro, yeah. I can hear them. I can hear the mutants. I can hear the tooths.
So, yeah. So, they took an image of my teeth, and now they have a 3D image of my mouth. So, if I ever commit a crime and bite people, I'm fucked.
That's why Eddie's going to become a stabber. Yeah. He's not going to use his teeth.
And so, they gave me a rundown. They checked out everything. I have a couple cavities on my left side of my mouth.
Do you floss?
I do now.
Bro, that's why I started flossing.
Yeah. Smack that. So, yeah, I had a couple cavities. Then on my right side, I had some broken fillings from a past job that I had done. And then I had a fuck ton of calcium buildup in between my teeth. Yeah, again, no because shit. I didn't floss. And then I had plaque. Fuck.
Smack it again. We're going to have a smack count on this fucking podcast.
And then I had plaque buildup behind my teeth because, again, I didn't floss.
That's like for those listening, I know we're all talking about teeth right now. This is completely veering off of what we usually talk about. But right behind your front and back, like the front teeth, mm-hmm. right behind them where your tongue starts to meet or the roof of the mouth starts to meet, there's a lot of plaque buildup because people will focus on the molars. People will focus on the front, but they very rarely like go yeah. in on the side
yeah.
and go right behind the front of your teeth. Yeah. But that's where that's where your saliva is produced. Mm-hmm. And my dentist was telling me, the saliva mixed with the food, mixed with whatever sugars, whatever, that's what creates the plaque. Mm. So right where it's building up, right where your tongue meets your teeth,
mm-hmm.
that's where it builds up a lot. Yeah. A lot.
So when I tell you, when I went in for my first appointment, they removed that plaque. It was just very basic preliminary procedure. they remove that black dude, and I can't tell you how good it felt to like feel the back of my
teeth. Feels weird, right? You can feel the definition. You can feel the definition of your teeth.
Yeah,
I'm like, after you feel you after you have a cleaning, you can't stop like tonguing your teeth. You're like,
can't just tongue yourself, man.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like you're like, these are my skeletons. This is my bones sticking out of my fucking head. It's weird, but yeah, take care of your teeth, please.
Yeah, and so I've gone to 3 out of the 4 appointments that I have done, paid them all out of pocket. My insurance is really good. Nice. Very happy.
Nice.
The first 2 cleanings was a deep cleaning of all the calcium buildup I've had over, because my dentist, she was explaining how the calcium has been building in between my teeth. Oof. And so that's pushing my gums out the way. So, and luckily I don't have gingivitis or any like inflammatory gum disease.
Yeah.
So she was saying how in order to get your gums back to the way they were, we have to remove all that calcium. And so your gums will tighten back up, and that's what makes them so strong and rigid. So when like dentists, like this makes sense now, when dentists like fucking poke your gums and they just start bleeding off after a soft poke, like that's on you.
Yeah, dude, that's
your
why
gums,
you floss.
Your gums are weak as fuck.
Yeah. So I had cavities when I was a little kid. Like when I was a little kid, I had pretty good insurance. I had state insurance, fucking Husky Health, fuck Connecticut.
Oh my god, once I had again, Husky bro. Health too.
He's such a jip.
That's poor people healthcare.
Pretty much. So fucking...
if you're in Massachusetts, that's Medicare.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Mass Health. Mm. Mass Health.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I had, it was pretty good. As a kid, I fucking had the worst dental hygiene. I think I've had like over a total like 10 cavities maybe 8 cavities my whole life. But recently I just went back to the dentist. Now I have a new dentist on a new health insurance thing. It was out of a family recommendation of like a long history of doctors and stuff like that. And now I only go through recommendations for doctors and dentists. But this guy was great. Fucking shout out to Family Dental in Springfield. And for the first time in my life, I actually was able to talk face to face with my dentist as an adult and be like, dude, just look, I know you're going to do the examination. I haven't been back in 1.5 years. Give me the rundown. Luckily, you know, I was so paranoid about my dental health that I didn't have any more cavities. The key is brush twice a day, floss twice a day, drink hot tea in between meals because it helps pre-digest the food, doesn't let it get stuck in there for more than like a couple hours. Mm. So I always have comfort tea with my, I have certain tea with my certain bites of eggs.
Yeah.
Heated
devil eggs.
my point was, I sat down, I'm like, look, dude, give it to me straight. Tell me, I want you to like, give me a mirror, show me each, fuck, smack cam. Sorry
smack
again.
Smack Mike.
Smack Mike. Give me a rundown. Like, give me a mirror, show me my teeth, and tell me how much I need to take care of each of those teeth. And so he gave me a rundown because I was so paranoid. I had this jaw pain. I thought it was cavities. I thought it was like, I need a root canal. It just turned out it was just from my wisdom teeth being removed and my jaw is shifting.
Mm.
I mean, that's a whole other thing, but that's minor. So he literally went through. He's like, okay, so this is a filling on this tooth. This kind of overhangs. So you might want to go back here with some gauze and make sure you floss that last piece because you got your wisdom teeth removed. So now there's a gap there. But bro, I brush my teeth at work too, because like after my meals, so I brush at least twice a day and I floss at least twice a day. And I'm on top of my dental shit, bro. Last time I went back for a cleaning, I didn't even have to see the doctor. The dental hygienist, she did her thing. Quickest clean I've ever felt. I can still feel like the definition of my teeth before I even got there. She just scraped a little bit. I was done, and it strengthens your gums too. And she's like, do you have any questions for the dentist? And I was like, nah. And she's like, you have perfect teeth. You're good. I'm like, living dentist. Living dentist, bro. So I mean, yeah, take care of your teeth. That was a weird fucking tangent, but
no, I learned my lesson now, because I was getting my filling done. My most recent procedure was mm-hmm. getting a filling redone. Dude, it doesn't matter how much they fucking numb you, you still feel that shit. Because they get this like sonic screwdriver from fucking, you know, Doctor Who and put it in your mouth. And then it sounds like DeWalt. Sonic. Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog doing like that spin move.
Oh, dude, when I walk into a dentist's office, I just hear the fucking grinding, man. It psychologically fucks you because... So I need to take like a Valium next time I go in there, man. Like it doesn't help. It doesn't help that I'm numb. I can still, because there was one traumatic incident I had at the dentist where I jumped up in the chair and the drill went in, and I was like, oh, Yeah, man. So,
dude, when that
bring music when if you're gonna tool, go to the dentist.
Yeah, yeah, that's another
noise canceling headphones. Although your bones are conductive, so it'll go right to your eardrum, bro. Yeah. Like no matter how much you cancel the noise outside, it'll help diminish it. It
fucking vibrates your teeth, man.
But and it's that, like if you close your ear and talk, you can still hear yourself talk. Yeah. So it's like
that's the pain you just can't like numb at all. Yep. Because once he got sensation. To the very bottom, and it was like hitting the pretty much my root. I can just feel my whole jaw vibrate, and it just—it's like the most uncomfortable tickling sensation I've ever felt.
Yeah, it's like cold.
It is. Ugh, yeah, but man. after they start putting.
The sorry, phone, we should move on. We're so yeah, triggering anybody who's afraid of.
I also got to get my wisdom teeth removed, and that's it.
Oh really? You haven't got them removed yet?
I've only gotten one of them removed.
I got them all four at the same time.
These two. Well, when you're on Husky Health.
I was on Husky Health. Actually,
my mom can only afford to get one out, but I need to get these two on this side out because they're starting to give me a lot of problems.
Yeah, I did it when I was at a certain age bracket. That's why I was able to get away with it. I went from Husky A, not Husky D health. But, you know, shout out to my mom pulling me off of Husky Health. It doesn't cost her any money, but you know what? She still did it just despite me. So I had to pay for fillings. That was fun.
Yeah. Fuck Connecticut.
Fuck Connecticut. Yes. In summation, fuck Connecticut. Fuck Hartford County. But, I'm grateful for the high school I went to for sure. I went to a math and science high school, and that shit taught me so much more, like how I can't coast off of my basic intelligence that I had through middle school. I got to high school, and I was actually challenged as a student, and I flopped. And that was a hard lesson for me to take, that I was a fucking terrible student. I needed to work on my work ethic. And I think even graduating college, I still don't have a good enough work ethic. I think if I looked back on the long history of my life, definitely in a better spot now, but I still got so much fucking work to do, work ethic wise.
You know what's a crazy concept? Staying back a grade. I knew one kid in my entire like grade school career. He stayed back, and I remember when I was in middle school, that was like a big jump in, you know, a learning curve because you know, subjects got harder, work got more intense. And I was getting B's and C's instead of the usual A's. And I thought getting C's was going to make me stay back a grade. I was so paranoid as a little kid. But yeah, I remember one kid, I forgot his name. I think it was Kyle or something. We were all in seventh grade and he stayed back. And so when we're all in eighth grade, we see him still in seventh grade. And
oof, like, man,
my dude, what are you still doing there?
That sucks when you like get to high school too. Concept. High Look school and middle school. Concept.
Is like I failed the class in college, and so I know the feeling of having to take it over again.
Yeah,
imagine having to go through an entire year of the exact same subject. Ugh.
And that's when kids give up, man. It's like fuck this. If I like failed a couple,
imagine having to take the CMTs a year longer than you should.
You fuck the CMTs, dude. I have
2 weeks of like our school life.
Shout out to my little brother though, Joey. I love you. Skipping a grade, bro. He's gonna graduate this year at 17.
That's good. Good on him.
Fucking good on you, bud. Love you. He actually just turned 17, or did he turn 16?
Right now.
How old am I? No.
This minute.
Oh fucking Christ! I'm a cracker. That's why you don't sneeze into the mic. No, February 11th was his birthday. I think he just turned. Did he just turn? We'll see. Oh, fuck. I think he just turned 16, actually.
Bro.
And he's going to graduate at 16. Yeah, he's going to graduate at 16.
Good on him.
Yeah, because he's
one of those like weird kids who like got in early because of his birthday and whatnot.
Yeah, I never knew how those worked. I still don't know the math on that.
I'm technically like a year late. I was supposed to start a year earlier, but like since my birthday fell in January, it was one of those weird months where like, should you start there? I mean, I graduated 18 years old like everybody else.
I graduated 17 years old, and then I turned 18.
Don't try to rub it in, okay?
Oh, wait, did I? No, I didn't graduate. I graduated at 18, yeah.
Oh.
So, wait, did he graduate? I'm confused. Maybe he's a junior. I love you, too. I love you so much, Joe, but I forgot what grade you're in. I don't know if you're graduating this year. Maybe you're graduating next year. I don't fucking know. Well, no, he's... Fuck it, I don't really know. I don't care. But I love you.
I love you.
I love you, bud. Love you, bud. You're my favorite. But yeah, I just go to the dentist. I don't know what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
Go to the dentist.
Fucking Connecticut. Fuck Connecticut. Also, we came from Connecticut. I don't know anybody who's still successful in Connecticut. Let me put it that way. All the people that I hear about are, they say Connecticut is like the motivation that they had. Just for instance, I mean, going back all the way to the first episode when we were talking about college and stuff, I remember distinctly not wanting to go to UConn when I was out of high school. And more distinctly than that, I remember the first filter for my college selection process was not Connecticut. Check. probably Boston was my second check. And then from there, it was whatever college would take me. And I remember in high school, they would have a chart of acceptance. This was the grade above ours. It was a bar chart of the acceptance in our high school, people who got acceptance letters. And it was like Panoma, fucking, you know, University of Oregon, some like weird shit along the way, maybe some Northeastern, whatever. But then the giant spike in the middle was UConn. And it was like 400, you know, 40 people accepted to UConn or whatever, because everyone was going to UConn because they give you so much in-state discount, and then everything else is just fucking...
You know, honestly, looking back at that, that would be nice for the in-state discount.
I know, I'm kicking myself for hating Connecticut so much.
Fucking Connecticut.
We wouldn't have met. You wouldn't have had the opportunities that you had. You wouldn't have met your girlfriend. I wouldn't have met...
I wouldn't have 100K plus of debt, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things wouldn't have happened, but thinking about being in Connecticut, even if you didn't have that debt, think about where your life would go. Dude, maybe we would have been at UConn.
I know, right? Ironic.
But yeah, it's just a bunch of cows. Fuck Stores Connecticut. Fuck UConn. It's just, I mean, great WNBA UConn team. Great job, guys.
Oh, yeah. Also, Wings Over is over there, so great.
I mean, Wings Over is everywhere, dude. It's a fucking chain.
I know.
But Stores Connecticut is just cows and nothing to do. I probably would have been like...
I mean, all of Connecticut is nothing to do. I mean,
like, drinking or whatever, but... I feel like I would have fallen into hard times. Yeah. Oh, Rocky Neck?
No, not Rocky Neck. It's like the Ocean Beach. I mean, is it Rhode Island?
Oh, Hammonasset.
Hammonasset.
Just over the border from Connecticut.
Fucking hated that.
Hammonasset.
That water was mad fucking dirty. Brown water.
I think you're still thinking of Rocky Neck, bro.
Rocky Neck? No, it's not Rocky Neck. It's a long...
Rocky Neck was technically still in Connecticut. It was Niantic.
Niantic? No, it's not that.
No, Niantic is the town that Rocky Neck was in. What's up, Clovey?
Oh, whoa. Look, there's Clover right
there. But Hammonasset's technically in Rhode Island. It's just over the border from Connecticut.
No, the nice, clean,
Clover, like, you lake. Stinky bitch. You're so fucking stinky. Fart? Yes, you fucking farted.
Well, good thing you're right next to the window.
Yeah, it's true.
But you ever been to Coventry in Connecticut?
Yeah.
In Coventry, they have a lot of nice lakes. My family used to go there all the time with our church group back when I used to go to church. And we would have, like, dinners and stakeouts.
I've been thinking about going back to church recently.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember spitefully giving up Catholicism because, I mean, anyone who's listening, if you've been raised Catholic, Catholicism knows how to raise atheists for sure, because they just force you into... Dude, you stinky bitch. You're so stinky, Clovey.
Oh, I can smell it.
Oh, God. In her little fucking fart closet. But... Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, religion was kind of forced on me, like a lot of young people are.
Yeah, same. Like
when it was convenient. So for my confirmation, when I was...
confirmation bias.
Yeah, confirmation bias indeed. Catholicism, I've heard too, because I talked to other Christians. You know, Catholicism's a lot more strict than other sects of Christianity. Besides Jehovah's Witness, this is probably on par with Catholicism, like how strict it is.
I have a theory about Jehovah's Witnesses, is they actually don't have a church. What they do is they recruit people to recruit other people to become Jehovah's Witnesses so they can invite them to go to their, like, sermons. But they never get to go to the sermons because your initiate is to be recruiting other Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, my God. It's just a religious pyramid scheme. Yeah. Someone's going to go to jail. They also don't celebrate birthdays because they think the only holiday belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But... I don't know. Being really Catholic, the church community wasn't that good. I mean, people in my town, the town I lived in, is getting older and older. It's just going to be old people in like 10 years. No young people stay there because there's nothing to do for young people.
Yeah.
You know, once you leave high school, you graduate, you get out just like I did and go somewhere else. Yep. You know, Boston is like the New York City of Connecticut kids. Because
honestly, I meet so many people here who are from Connecticut. Yeah. And it's always so shocking because nobody wants to say they're from Connecticut.
Yeah, too. It's a shameful secret because Boston is like an easy city. New York is a little harder. So Boston is like the next city that's kind of like, oh, I made it in the big city, but you haven't gone to like NYC, which is like even more. So Boston's like the safe city in between. But anyways, my point being, I don't know. I just kind of I have a longing for community. You know, because I never had that. I never really knew a lot of neighbors. Like I said, a lot of people were older in the area that I was growing up in. So it's not much people my own age that I'm hanging out with. But I'm growing into adulthood. I'm becoming, you know, a working adult. I feel like I want that community. Some sense of belonging. I'm not even, you know, not religious. But I feel like I could get down with a cool church. You know, one of those churches where they sing.
Get down on it.
Pretty much. Get I mean, fuck. On one of my exes, she went to a church where they had, like, you know, like kind of like the Southern Baptist style church, yeah, where it's like singing and dancing and shit. So
funny that you bring that up. I can
get down with that shit.
I used to, and I would like to go to again. It's called, shout out to Heads Up Hartford, all the board, Anna, love you, second mom, Patty, second mom, love you to death. It's called Heads Up Hartford, and so they're a faith-based camp that gives back and does volunteer work 1 week out of the year. And then they have smaller, like, meetups. They're called super youth groups.
Back at it. All right, so thanks for
rejoining. Back at it again, that podcast.
Yeah, thanks for
back our mics down.
Thanks for joining us again. That was a brief interruption from a coworker. And you'll never see them or hear them.
Again.
Ever.
But what were we saying?
You were talking about Heads Up Hartford.
Oh, yeah.
A faith-based youth group.
So, yeah, so Heads Up Hartford, I started to go when I was 15, and then it's youth-driven and youth-led, so it's a lot of young kids kind of stepping up to the plate and really bringing forward their best foot, you know, just trying to create an impact in their community, and it goes beyond Hartford. So not all the volunteer work, they try to, like, emulate this really nice 50-50, so 50% of the kids who go to camp who come from the urban areas. So,
Sorry, I just remembered that I have to tell a story that I was saving for this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, I'll get to it right after this.
No, it's okay.
And then 50% were from kids from, you know, suburban neighborhoods. And it was actually really nice because you kind of bridge this gap between, like, these kids who, like, you know, white people, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you
literally... Shit, I smacked the camera again.
Honest to God, I'm not going to lie.
I'm sorry.
Connecticut's small as hell, but, like, you can get some, like, really divided, like, places. There were some kids who'd never seen a black person before they went to Heads Up Hartford.
We do need to talk about that. Let's go back to fucking fuck Connecticut.
That's like, some serious shit. But then, you know, you meet these people, you know, either from suburban or urban areas, and then you kind of just find out they're just like you. And they do a really good job.
Wow, Eddie, are you saying there's people out there that aren't the same color as you, and they're the same? Wow, that's such a new hot take on society.
Yeah. So it was a really nice sense of community because you're building bridges across different towns and city lines, and now people aren't afraid to, like, go, like, they can't say, well, I don't know them, so, like, I'm gonna have this, like, unreasonable sense of fear when it comes to, you know, having derogatory, like, thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're from Hartford, but I remember the bus programs in Connecticut and people in Mass, and I'm sure other states too, you've had similar busing, like, public school busing programs where they would bus kids from out of urban areas, out of cities, into more rural areas and be like, look, get along, kids. But these kids are so, like, afraid to be with anyone different. I'm not even talking just skin color. I'm talking about, like, geographically, people who don't understand. Like, when I was in Connecticut, I was in Windsor Locks, central Connecticut, up north near the airport, super rural, suburban. And they would bus kids in from Hartford. And instead of, like, integrating us into one big community, it was just like, oh, what about those Hartford kids, though? Like, they're always the annoying, loud kids. And it's like, that's how they were perceived. And to be honest, that's kind of how the teachers perceive them, too. Like, as much as they want to bring everyone together, these kids don't really want to fucking be with other kids that are from outside of their own town because they don't really feel comfortable. They don't know what to do in that town. They can't leave the school. They're literally just coming into this town to go to the school.
Yeah.
It's like they're being bussed in as, like, prisoners for, like, a work program. Like, they're not allowed to leave the premises. They're not allowed to enjoy the area.
Bad. There are some people in Connecticut who've, like, grown and lived in Connecticut all their lives. One of my high school friends, her ex, came to visit me one time, and that was his first time ever leaving Connecticut. It was from Hartford,
by the way. Yeah, and that's the thing. Well, Eddie was talking about people living in such isolated communities in Connecticut. Like, this just goes for the in general up north, but people up north want to think that they're a lot more woke and, like, diverse, quote-unquote, and, like, racially accepting as, like, than the people down south. Like, they point down south and be like, everyone's racist, everyone's bigoted. But if you want to talk about who's the most integrated, it's people in the south. People living side by side with people of different racial background or ethnic background, it's mostly people in the south, barring major metropolises like Boston or New York. But even there, you have such segmented communities. You know, like Alston and Brighton, the neighborhood that's like that we're in right now, you know, we'd think like, well, we're in Boston, we're super woke. You see the signs on everyone's businesses, everyone accepted. Alston and Brighton's pretty much just a cushy Jewish neighborhood. Like that's kind of all it is. And that's not shitting on them. Like you paid good money to be in this neighborhood. But don't act like you're so woke and like diverse, and there's not that much diversity up here. It's like it's easy to spout diversity when you get to like live whatever comfortable life you want to live. People down south, like in Atlanta, that's the most culturally mixed I've ever been in America, is being down in Atlanta. People, you know, black, white, Hispanic, like much more integrated than it is in the up northern urban areas. So I just don't like that kind of like hypocrisy. But that kind of busing program specifically in Connecticut, again, fuck Connecticut, that's the name of the hashtag FCT. It's like you have such rich areas. I'm talking Groton, fucking Orange, Ellington,
Glastonbury. I would say Glastonbury, but it's like middle, yeah. High middle class,
yeah. Fucking Vernon, oof. Ellington, Bridgeport. Building bridges. Bridges are important, except Bridgeport.
Yeah, Bridgeport honestly looks like an abandoned city.
Really?
Oh my god.
I haven't been there. Dude. I'm just kind of naming them off right now because I fucking hate all
Connecticut. You never been to Bridgeport?
Is Bridgeport bad?
Bridgeport is horrible.
Okay, never mind. So I was thinking fucking of
Bridgeport University. You mean Bristol? Bristol's nice.
Okay, yeah. There's Bridgeport so many different. Bad. We have Berlin, Connecticut. There's so many fucked up names. But yeah, I mean, there's so many. Is Newport? No, that's Rhode Island. There's Groton, though. It's like basically the towns that are closest to New York. Those are the people who live in Connecticut and commute to like New York City.
Yeah, Stanford.
Stanford. Those Groton, are like, Connecticut.
Yeah, those are like pretty much that like little leg that like pushes into
New York. Yeah, it doesn't. Connecticut doesn't really. It doesn't really kind of motivate much inspiration.
Yeah.
From its people.
Yeah.
To do much, because then they're like, oh, you want to build a small business, here's a giant tax rate that you have to pay. It's like, okay, so I'm just gonna leave the state real quick. I'm gonna fucking hold up scoop, I'm gonna secure my bag, and I'm gonna go to Texas where they have better like tax rates or whatever. But yeah, Connecticut sucks donkey balls. And all we're good for is Lyme disease and Mark Twain. I remember talking to somebody and bringing that up. I said like, oh, the only thing that Connecticut's known for is Mark Twain and Lyme disease. And he's like, you know, I actually got Lyme disease when I went to Connecticut. Mind you, this kid visited Connecticut
while going to the Mark Twain house.
Doing the CMTs, learning about what's his name? I just forgot his name. Eli Whitney, cotton gin that was invented in Connecticut. No, he's from Hawaii originally. Is a military kid, and he visited Connecticut once, got bit by a tick and got Lyme disease. Old Lyme, that's another beach, it's pretty good. But yeah, fuck Connecticut. I'm definitely gonna like at Mike Falzone. I love you, buddy. Love Dynamic Banter. If you ever hear this, please listen to this. And I know that you're, you know, you still love Connecticut a little bit, but it, even just putting Connecticut on the map, just hear us out. Hear us out. Yeah. A bunch of CT boys.
You wanna finish off this podcast with your story?
I think I'm actually gonna save it for the very next.
Damn.
I know. You're
actually never gonna hear it, guys.
Well, because we're already about to hit 50 minutes.
Oh, are we?
Damn, I was gonna bring 60 up
minutes on CNN.
I don't know. I want to keep them a little shorter. I want to hold on to the story for when we really need something. Yep, this one was fine. But there was something I was gonna bring up. It was something about Connecticut for sure. Bridgeport again. I guess it was the part about just being so segregated. Like,
no, I will
people
say,
are in their isolated.
The Connecticut River did change. It used to be a Class D river, which was like you can't even touch the water without getting like.
Oh, you're talking about like chemicals and shit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So the Connecticut River. So if you ever want to dump a body, just do it in the Connecticut River.
Facts.
People are doing.
Jimmy Hoffa's definitely in the Connecticut River.
Actually, really interesting thing about Hartford and Connecticut. So back in the 80s. The Connecticut River used to like have a bigger flow, and there was a bigger section of it that it took up. But then they worked on this whole underground pipe system, like huge concrete piping system, to divert some of the water to go under the city.
Interesting.
So there's this whole intricate like waterway system under Hartford.
Was it meant to service plumbing in Hartford, or was it just like to flow of the river?
I think it was to help ease the flow of the river, because like during the springtime it can get like really fucking flooded.
Oh, but, and it was like a roadway at the shoreline and stuff.
Yeah, so my graphic design teacher back in middle school, he actually took him and his friend into the pipes, because the water level can get really low to the point where you can just, you know, canoe yourself.
Yeah, whenever around. We don't get enough like rain, it can.
Yeah.
So that's how the Thai soccer kids got stuck in that fucking thing. He shouldn't have gone in the pipe system.
Yeah, dude. So, he was like showing us some of the pictures. Dude, that like is fucking scary. And it's dark as all. Of course, it's dark as all shit because, you know, you're in a pipe.
That I'm in a pipe. Light.
But he was showing us like just all the trash that was down there. He showed us a full like car just like wedged in between. Like,
bruh.
Yeah,
he's a like car.
You wanna talk about fucking Mother Nature and how strong like those currents can pull a whole fucking 2-ton car. Shit.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I think that's one cool thing about Connecticut and Hartford.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, look, there's great things about every state. There's great things, you know, and it's always like we look back on our childhood sometimes with the shit colored glasses, like I fucking hate, you know, I hate where I grew up. Because you want to move away from where you came from. I just think in general, it's funny because I am saying where we are is better, but it's just funny because Connecticut is one of those states where more often than not, the people that you see have left, first of all, A, left the state, and then B, do not look back fondly on that state. Where you catch someone in the wild and you're like, yep. Hey, where are you from? They pull you in real close, they grab you by the back of the neck, and they're like, look, buddy, I'm from Enfield, but I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's one of those things. It's like a dirty secret somehow. But yeah, it's Connecticut's just a funny state. Whenever I hear Connecticut being referenced in TV, radio, movies, shows, or whatever, it just makes me chuckle inside because Connecticut's like the oft forgotten state. You know, but yeah, fuck Connecticut. Maybe it's just the episode where we vent about our childhood and Connecticut. But yeah, we. Of the days. Oh yeah, you know what? Okay, yeah, for
you
sure.
You want to do your makeshift? No, I'm not. Right?
This is a joke. I found this on the street. It's a piece of china. It's a Triumph American Limoges, and it's this guy. I thought it was funny because this guy is strumming to these two ladies, and it made me think of that Vine, of that black guy with a guitar. The I love you, bitch. I'm never gonna stop loving you, bitch. So I just thought that was funny, but it's not my find of the week. I just didn't want to break ceramic. What Eddie's is, though, here, I'll hold it up for you. Eddie's is always a jacket now. Pretty much, right? It's just going to be the jacket of the week.
I know. I think they're going to have to like start transferring out and just start getting spring apparel because, you know, we are changing seasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, today I went to one of the local thrift stores and found this Harley Davidson fucking...
Windbreaker.
Is it?
That's how it was listed. It was listed as a windbreaker with a fleece lining.
Yeah, but it's a double jacket.
I think it's the material that defines the windbreaker.
Yeah. You can actually remove the inner layer right here. Yeah. And it's reversible, too, which is
and
really
it's
nice.
Yeah, first of all, it's reversible, it's removable, and it's just a fleece. So if you were to remove the liner, it would become its own jacket.
Yeah.
Or you could wear just the outer shell, which is fucking fire.
Yeah.
And it's button... It's a nice jacket. Yeah. It's Harley Davidson is a great brand.
Yeah. Here's another thing. Actually, I'll touch upon this a little bit about flipping. So once you start flipping, you become more consistent and understand the brands. It's like a double-edged sword because not only do you know what brands are kind of high in its value, some thrift stores start marking those items at higher price points. So now if... You know, you're trying to get like a regular Ralph Lauren nice polo that has a good graphic on it.
Yeah.
If you know that will sell well, then sometimes the thrift store catches that and then they mark up their prices for that item. Everything would be like $3-4 and all of a sudden you're like looking at a $12 item. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
It's a race to the bottom. You have to keep looking for the brands that people are ignoring about.
So, but like one of the thrift stores that I go to, every time they get Harley Davidson in, they always mark that shit up, like a lot, way up, like almost like halfway to his original retail value, which I hate.
Because then the margins are too slim to even want to get into it.
Yeah, but I went to a different one, and then they had this Harley Davidson windbreaker, and I was praying because the way their system works is they don't tag anything, unless if they do tag anything, it's with a specific price that deviates from what they have.
Yeah,
on their posted prices,
kind of like Goodwill. Goodwill does that too.
Yeah.
They'll just have colored tags for the days of the week, but they'll have a big board that says like T t-shirts this much, or they'll have like jeans above the jean rack. It'll say 749 is pretty much the jean standard.
When I saw this Harley Davidson coat, I was like, oh, like I was like, I was so hyped because like it was my first time finding. It's always nice to find clothes that you're always hearing about, but you never find them.
Yeah, you catch it in the wild.
Yeah,
it's like a rare Pokemon in the grass.
Fucking add that to my Pokedex. So I found it. Had no price on it, so I knew it was gonna fall into whatever category that they had it under for outerwear. And they gave it to me for the cheapest outerwear price, which was $12. So I got it for $12. It's right now listed on eBay for like $90, mm-hmm. which is nice. I thought it was gonna be a little bit more, but it's fine. I mean, Harley Davidson's always selling.
Yeah, for sure. Every middle-aged dads, I see you. Yeah. My find of the week, like in all fashion, is going to be a super superimposed picture. My flip of the week, I had a few to choose from. I'm going to go with the vintage 90s purple. I think it's purple. Yeah, vintage 90s purple Charles Barkley Phoenix Suns jersey, because it was a very remarkable flip for me in two ways. Firstly, that it was the quickest flip that I've ever done, literally less than 18 hours. It was a flip. I bought it one day, listed it that night, and woke up to a notification from eBay that there was an offer on it. That, first of all, there was a couple offers on it, actually. I didn't even mention this part. There was two offers on it, and then one guy just bought it outright. But there were some messages before, which is the second notable part, which is that he wanted to buy it even though he lived in Hong Kong. So for a lot of things, what we'll put, it won't be, it'll just be domestic listings, because that's easier for shipping. But it made me open my eyes to the realization that, like, internationally, there are people that are going to want certain things. And that I have restricted international shipping on almost all of my things because it just seems too complicated. I guess it seems too iffy and seems too expensive to be, like, worth it. But you can delineate between domestic and international shipping. But anyways, I actually went through the process, and this was really risky, to unlist it, put international shipping on it, then relist it, and then message the guy back and say, like, look, it's now available. And he bought it right away. So, like, luckily, and he bought it as is. He didn't even offer anything to, he just bought it as it was, which was fantastic. But yeah, so I sent it to Hong Kong, and I'm going to message the guy soon, ask to leave some feedback. But that was just so remarkable. I literally, less than 18 hours, the quickest flip I've ever seen. So I was super stoked about that. And it was kind of, the pace has been revving up. I don't know about your selling, your...
Right now, it's sporadic for me sometimes. I've been posting stuff on Depop.
I haven't gotten to Depop yet. Yeah. I should definitely look into that.
So, like, I feel like with Depop, it's different from eBay, where eBay, you can get lucky for the first few times and people will buy. But with Depop, for those who don't know what Depop is just another site where you can... or another platform where you can just sell clothing, and that one's a little bit more catered to kind of a little bit more hipster.
Yeah, vintage clothing.
Vintage clothing. So that one, I'm building up that following. I have things posted for sale right now, but I'm just trying to build up that following so people can know who I am and what my page is all about. Yeah. And I think once that like has enough notoriety, then the sales will come through. Because there's some people on Depop that like just fucking bang shit out and like it sells right away. But I think that's because they put the work in to build up their following.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'd be interested in I'd want to look more into this off podcast, obviously, because this can be super in baseball and boring. But the different methods of sourcing clothing, because it's interesting when you find people posting certain things. Like, where did you even find that? You
know, state sales.
State sales for sure.
We got to do in the summertime.
Fucking
by the way.
Scoop that bag off some old dead people. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to our elderly listenings. Anyways, we're fucking rambling. Fuck Connecticut. That was the flip of the week. That was the find of the week. As always, find us on the Facebook group, Two Boys Podcast. Find us on YouTube when I upload this video. Usually I can get them around Monday, Tuesday. I try to edit on Sunday, but sometimes shit gets held back because we got work. Especially if we're putting in... There wasn't too many overlays, so this should be pretty quick. Podcast, of course, every Monday morning, wherever you can hear podcasts. Two Boys Podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. Find Eddie at Sir Fern on Instagram. And Gage, you can find me. Fuck, not going to smack the camera again. I'm sorry, guys. Next time, I'll definitely will have cable ties. Gage, make sure you get cable ties and put them in your bag for next podcast. You can find me at Garbage Man Gage, garbage_man_Gage. on Instagram for all listings on my store and goofy ass boomerangs from the thrift shops.
Yeah.
So
I gotta go to that thrift store. Boomerangs.
No, I mean boomerangs isn't on Instagram, you know, like the repeatable videos.
Wow.
I know, my girlfriend said the same thing. She was like, yeah, those boomerangs were really cute. I was like, wait, how'd you know about that? It just was at boomerangs. Anyways, that's a whole like stupid dad joke.
Okay, enough tangents.
This is Gage signing off.
This is Eddie signing off.
This has been Two Boys Podcast.
Boom.